I can't believe he said that either. But what did you expect when you tuned in? Here's Gruber.
After on a Friday, if you want to get a hold of me here, anything that's on your mind, stevegruber.com is the place to go. Drop me a line. Write me a note. Good way to do it. Stevegruber.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And Instagram as well. Here's another little tidbit for you. From the Lisa Page, Peter Strzok file. It's kind of important. And that is Lisa Page apparently was an intern in the Clinton administration. Not that intern. But an intern in the Clinton administration. Page, who exchanged tens of thousands of texts with disgraced FBI official and investigator Peter Strzok, back and forth. They were lovers, of course. You know that. And, now they're all caught up in this whole thing with new emails again. We'll get back to that. Keep you up to date on that. Frank Houston is the Michigan Regional Program Manager at Blue Green Alliance. The Blue Green Alliance unites America's largest labor unions and its most influential environmental organizations to solve today's environmental challenges in ways that create and maintain quality jobs and build a stronger, fairer economy. At least that's what they say. Frank, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So you want... Donald Trump has decided that the CAFE standards are unattainable, not achievable. You disagree.
I think more importantly, it's not just me that disagrees. I think the auto industry and a lot of other folks do, too. We got 70,000 people right now in Michigan building the parts and technologies helping us hit those standards, and I think we're well underway. So, yeah, we definitely disagree.
So... When I talk to people about CAFE standards, and I do that, you know, fairly regularly, they say the only way you achieve the CAFE standards is to have a fleet average. And you do that by having cars that can go a lot farther with less fuel, but that doesn't really change the... A Suburban's going to get what it gets, and a pickup truck's going to get what it gets. You're not going to stretch that out much farther. It is what it is. The mathematics are pretty simple. So what the opponents would have you... here is that it makes the fleet less safe because you have to build little cars to get a tremendous amount of mileage for one car to bring the average up. And I've seen that happen. Do you dispute that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the safety argument has been pretty thoroughly debunked. I mean, although I think when, you know, years ago when you know, when we first started building smaller cars and using parts that may have been issued, I mean, today, you know, I think there's a lot of advancements in technology that show that. I mean, to be honest, the safety issue, if anything, cars are more safe today than they've ever been before. And just like advancements, you know, inventions like the seatbelt, I mean, there's always going to be changes in how vehicles are built to make sure we're safe. So I actually don't really see any evidence that's been put out there by any credible source that they actually would be less safe.
I don't understand how seatbelts have anything to do with the conversation. It seems off topic. I don't know. I think you're getting into the weeds there a little bit. Seatbelts have nothing to do with this conversation, but you claim that the state is going to have more jobs if we keep the CAFE standards high. Where would these jobs come from?
Well, they're already in fact happening. I mean, that's the one good thing that I can say about this. Beyond the, I think everyone acknowledges there's public health and environmental impacts, but we generally focus on right now the fact that we've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of people across the country that have been hired to actually, you know, create the technology, build the parts, you know, push the innovation forward to make sure we hit these standards. And we have 41 plants in Michigan that have seen over $20 billion in investments, largely because they're trying to hit these standards.
So but I don't think anybody's losing their job, are they? Nobody's losing their job because we changed CAFE standards. You're not claiming
that's
that.
That's actually not true.
Come on.
The EPA and NHTSA that are recommending the change in the standard have acknowledged that there's 60,000 jobs out there that are not going to be needed, quote-unquote, if they reduce the CAFE standards.
So that's the difference. That's different. What you just said, that nobody's going to lose their job, Frank. What you just said is that the 60,000 jobs may not be needed, may not be created. Now, we're in an environment where jobs are booming everywhere. Jobs are booming everywhere.
Keeps people employed that aren't needed.
Everybody's hiring that I'm aware of in Michigan. You can find a job everywhere you look today. Better jobs, right. More pay. Everything's going great guns, actually. And so I think things are pretty decent here. Let me ask you about this thing. You mentioned public health. What public health impact do we have from changing the CAFE standards or not?
Well, the biggest thing we can do to reduce, pollution coming from, everything from climate change to, CO2, et cetera. The biggest pollution causing thing we have in the United States is vehicles. So, generally by making them cleaner, we make air safer. And, folks like my kids who have asthma, it's a little easier.
But that's hold on. You're wrong there because the air in America continues to get cleaner since the 1970s. We don't have smog banks hanging over California like we once did, or Missoula, Montana like we once did. Fact of the matter is, air is cleaner every day, and the incidence of asthma continues to go up. It's actually a paradox. Nobody can explain why that is, Frank. Maybe you can.
Well, a lot of studies are out there that show that air pollution has an impact on asthma.
Do you dispute the fact that the air is cleaner in America today than it has been since the 1970s? Do you dispute since the EPA began in 1973 that the air is cleaner in America, in fact, by far? Is that true or not true?
I totally agree that the air is cleaner.
So then explain to me how it is. Then now we've got that figured out. Explain to me how it is that the incident of asthma continues to go up by multiples in America, even though, as you just admitted, the air is cleaner in America than it was in 1973, but our incidence of asthma is up multiples. How is that?
Well, I think I'm not a doctor or a Harvard professor who can do a study on this, but what we do know is that there is definitely an increase in asthma attacks. We also know that the air is getting cleaner. That's true. But there's also clusters in the country where the air is still full of different pollutants that make it more likely that you could have things like asthma attacks, cancer clusters, et cetera. So, I'm probably not the best guest to go in depth into that.
But I like the fact that you tell me that the air is cleaner. That's true. So I'm concerned about the public health concerns. If we're going to talk about public health, asthma wouldn't be one of the things on my list because the air is cleaner in America, as you say. Now, this is probably not going to change for a while. I don't think the CAFE standards are going to be coming back to what they were anytime soon. So what is your effort from here?
Sorry, can you restate that question one more time?
I don't think the Trump administration is going to put the CAFE standards back in place. So what do you do from here?
They actually haven't been changed yet. All that's happened is it's a process where they're doing public hearings and so on to hear, from the public. And I think, for instance, they're coming to Dearborn on the 25th to hear what folks have to say. And I think it's not just, groups like ours talking about this. The big three auto suppliers across the country and others have been very clear that they're very nervous about the administration's approach right now to rolling back these standards. And there's a lot of good reason why. We all know that innovation with vehicles only goes one direction, that's forward. And the reality is that if you adjust these standards too much, you're jeopardizing jobs, you're jeopardizing a lot of small businesses and manufacturers across our state, let alone the country.
Well, Frank, I got to leave it right there. A lot of people said increasing the standards to where they were would cost people jobs. So there's critics on both sides. Good thing we had this conversation. The Michigan Regional Program Manager for the Blue-Green Alliance, Frank Houston, thank you so much. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Michigan residents are targeted for identity theft more often than the rest of the country. It's a fact. But did you know the Michigan Chamber has an identity theft protection solution designed to help Michigan Chamber members and their employees? It's true. And it's the best data protection you can get today. There are only two kinds of people, those that have had their data stolen and those that will. The Michigan Chamber is here to help you defend yourself and your employees from getting robbed. Go to stevegruber.com. Click on the Michigan Chamber logo to learn more and get started. Protect yourself with the Michigan Chamber Identity Theft Protection Solution. The average construction worker is earning from $16 to more than $30 an hour plus benefits and overtime. And right now, construction workers are in high demand here in Michigan. Fixing the roads, building bridges, commercial projects, and new infrastructure are all part of the big picture. Plus, construction jobs are cool. Find out more about the big opportunities here in Michigan. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner now. Start building Michigan's future and yours today.
We're here with Gary Sullivan, a music educator and music industry veteran. Gary, how would you say music education benefits those who take part in it?
Music engages people of all ages. Participation is possible for the beginner in grade school through adults. Performers are active participants in our musical culture, and the experience is possible for all.
Sometimes scheduling and finances can prevent students from joining a music program. How do schools help with this?
Scheduling music ensembles while avoiding conflicts with academics and activities is made possible in most schools. Effective schools value balance in student learning and work to support student participation in music. Student financial need does not limit participation. If there's a desire to participate, there is a way.
Thanks for your time. That's Gary Sullivan, music educator and music industry veteran. This PSA is sponsored by Marshall Music Company, your partner in music education since 1941. To learn more and to listen to other music education advocacy pieces, visit marshallmusic.com/musicmatters.